You might well have heard the sound of a chainsaw in a story about Amazon deforestation 1,000 times. But this chainsaw in the Brazilian state of Maranhão isn't being used to cut down trees. It's being used to destroy a wooden timber hauler used by a band of illegal loggers. Claudio da Silva is a member of the Amazon's Guajajara tribe and the leader of an armed group of indigenous forest protectors called the Guardians of the Forest. Illegal logging and land clearing continue to eat away at the world's largest remaining tropical forest. But the Guardians and others like them in Brazil are pushing back. On a recent day this summer, Da Silva and the Guardians prepare to patrol the Caru River, a narrow strip of muddy water marking the boundary of the Guajajara's 700-square-mile forest reserve. The land is protected on paper, but it's under constant threat. If we go looking in our territory, Da Silva says, we always find illegal things going on. And sure enough, as we make our way up the river, Da Silva spots a dugout canoe pulled onto the bank on the Guajajara side. We pull up alongside it, jump out, and move quickly up a narrow path into the forest. There are fresh machete cuts in the brush. And then we hear voices of men coming toward us. The Guardians crouch down for an ambush with their rifles loaded. The Guardians shout out commands as three boys appear. Soon, the boys are kneeling with hands behind their heads. They're from the settlement across the river. The youngest is 14. They confess to cutting virgin timber to make charcoal, a valuable product in this impoverished region of Brazil. The Guardians eventually send the boys to their homes across the river with a message to the others. Don't come back. They were lucky this time that it was just some unarmed kids. This is a war, Da Silva says. The invaders want confrontation. The hunters, the loggers, the farmers, they're all armed. We can die at any time. Da Silva isn't exaggerating. Brazil has become the deadliest country in the world for land defenders like him, with more than 140 killings since 2015. And Maranhão, where the Guajajara live, is perhaps the most dangerous part of the country, with more attacks on indigenous groups here in 2016 than anywhere else. Just after this visit, the body of one of Da Silva's fellow guardians from an indigenous territory just south of here was found dumped along the riverbank. Da Silva himself has received dozens of death threats, but he says it's worth the risk. For the indigenous, he says, our wealth is the forest. It's not gold or whatever else is there. What we want is the forest itself. It's a wealth that extends far beyond the Guajajara's land, and even the rest of the Amazon. Indigenous groups protecting their forest are providing an invaluable service for all of us, helping soften the impact of climate change.
56% of the carbon dioxide we are throwing into the atmosphere is removed back to the ocean and to the forests.
Carlos Nobre is a Brazilian climatologist.
So this is a tremendous ecosystem service. Very few people have a vague idea what that means, or even of its existence.
Or the fact that deforestation may be driving the entire Amazon and the services it provides to all of us to an alarming tipping point. After decades of sucking up huge amounts of CO2 pollution from the atmosphere, the process seems to have stopped, maybe even reversed. If that's happened, or when it does, that would mean the end of one of the planet's most powerful buffers against even more dangerous climate change.
So if we lose part of that, that means that we have to find ways to remove carbon and also to decrease emissions from fossil fuel much, much more rapidly.
Many activists say indigenous groups like the Guajajara are the last best hope for saving the Amazon and other tropical forests. And there's evidence to back that up. Multiple scientific studies have found that the best way to protect forests is to empower the people who live in them, granting them land rights and legal standing. The studies say those efforts pay off with 2 to 3 times lower deforestation rates. They also produce billions of dollars worth of benefits from carbon sequestration, clean water, and more. But it's a David and Goliath battle, protected indigenous lands cover nearly a quarter of the Amazon, and powerful economic forces are testing their resolve, from big ag, mining, and logging to the global demand for meat and soy. And they have allies in the Brazilian government.
Mas eu posso ter a certeza de que a maior dívida que o Brasil tem com o índio...
Congressman Nilson Leitão is a leader in the powerful agribusiness lobby called the Ruralistas. Leitão says Brazil shouldn't be protecting native lands from modern enterprise. Under his leadership, the Ruralistas and their ally, President Michel Temer, have stopped the process for creating new indigenous reserves, defunded the agency charged with protecting the rights of indigenous people, and are pushing to open existing indigenous territories to agribusiness and mining. Most Indians, Leitão says, live on government grants. Instead, he says, they should be able to exploit their land and make money. Brazil's indigenous groups generally see this rhetoric as self-serving, and they're fighting back. Last spring, more than 3,000 indigenous people descended on the capital, Brasilia, for a week of rallies and marches. It was the largest indigenous mobilization in Brazil's history. Sonia Guajajara, head of the Articulation of Indigenous Peoples of Brazil and a vice presidential candidate, organized the event.
A gente sempre viveu uma guerra no Brasil, né? O período de colonização foi marcado aí por...
We've always lived in a war in Brazil, she says. The colonization period was marked by deaths, murders, and extermination, and this hasn't stopped. It requires our constant resistance. Back at the Karu indigenous territory, Claudio da Silva calls the regional office of the military police for backup. The guardians have discovered a possible marijuana plantation on their land. Da Silva says confronting drug traffickers is the most dangerous kind of raid. The next day, 8 heavily armed policemen arrive. It's a rare show of support, most likely, Da Silva says, because they know I'm here, an American journalist. We enter the forest up the river and head up a path with assault rifles and bulletproof vests, checking for tripwires and booby traps. Before long, we find a planted field, but it's not pot. It's cassava, planted by land grabbers after they cleared the trees for charcoal. The guardians cut and burn the cassava, but the forest will take decades to recover. Sometimes when we see the trees cut down, Da Silva says, we feel rage. But we also have a heart, so sometimes we pity the outsiders too. They wrecked what they had, Da Silva says, and now they want to wreck what we have. This is why we keep fighting, so this doesn't happen. For the world, Sam Eaton, Maranhão, Brazil.